song is, if you don't think about it, it's the more I learn that people want to find a shortcut or some other way to please God and have victory except for just do what God says and trust God. Everybody has some tricky way of serving God, but there's no other way. Just trust and obey, do what he says. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we'll be there this evening. But we're jumping out of there and doing more of a Bible study this evening as we start there and wander around. we'll be all over the Bible, really. I'll be reading a lot of passages. You can listen or you can turn there to all of them. I'm going to start at Ephesians 6. We're talking about the armor of God again, Ephesians 6. And our memory verse 10, starting there, and we'll go through verse 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 12, it actually, if you look at the way it's structured, it actually teaches that there's different levels of demons and devils, and they have different authorities. And you're wrestling against all of them, but you're wrestling against different levels. And it's a big war. And so understand that. And you have a lot of enemies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right, let's pray. I want to talk about to burn or not to burn. To burn or not to burn. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight, and I just pray that we would be helped tonight with the word. I pray we'd get a general idea of some things. Lord, you might go another week into some deeper things about this, but I pray tonight we get the picture and understand fire a little bit, and you'd help us. We need your Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And Lord, we have people at every spiritual level here tonight, in every situation, every kind of victory and defeat and battle, and I pray tonight that all of us would be lifted higher and helped and drawn closer to you and learn the word tonight. Thank you for your word that gives us the answers. Thank you. Your word sanctifies us, as you said. And we just pray that you'd wash us in the water of the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have the armor and all those things we could talk about. Every single part of the armor is a message and a subject. But tonight, I just want to talk about one thing. And I want to talk about verse 16. It says, above all. Now, there's a lot of important things there. The helmet of salvation, there's a lot of things in there. There is the breastplate of righteousness, but it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fire is an interesting thing. How many of you are pyromaniacs? You'd love to play with fire. Way too many. You got issues. But that's a lot of pyromaniacs there. You'd love to play with fire. And how many of you ever got burned playing with fire? All right. And so how many of you didn't stop you the next time? Raise your hand. Okay. And that means you have issues. All right. And so we have fire. And fire is interesting thing because the fire is wonderful and a good thing. And fire is also extremely dangerous. And fire can be used to save your life from dying of cold, to cook food that you couldn't eat otherwise, to keep animals from coming and attack you. There's a lot of good uses of fire. My furnace in my house uses fire to keep me warm. We have a wood stove. We light fires in it. And when we had power outages, we cooked off a wood stove. You can do that. You know that? And we cooked on our wood stove back when I was in the Depression. But we've done that. We cooked on our wood stove before. And fire is an amazing thing. When we have a lot of debris from our yard, we burn them. And gets rid of things you don't want. It purifies things. Fire is a wonderful, amazing, great, great thing. There was much fire in God's temple. There was an altar of incense. There was a candlestick. There was an altar to burn up the sacrifices. And when God had accepted sacrifice, many times fire would come down from God out of heaven. He led them during the night with a pillar of fire, the children of Israel. Fire is very common in the Bible and for many good uses. But fire is also very dangerous. It's also very bad. You can get a lot of trouble as you light the wrong things on fire. Fire is very easy to get out of control. And bad things happen when fire gets out of control. We had a field across the street. When I was a kid, we had a neighbor with a field across the street, a field and a business on him. And my family lit that field on fire twice, burned the whole thing down. And it wasn't pretty. I got blamed for it, by the way, and I'm still bitter about it. I did not do it. Just so you know, and if anybody from the Boise Police Department is listening, I still say I didn't do it. But fire is very powerful. Very dangerous. It's a great blessing. It's all those things. Dateline, January 8, 2006, Fort Sumner, New Mexico. An 81-year-old man named Lusando Merez kept having a mouse in his house bothering him. He finally captured it, and he decided to kill the mouse. So he took the mouse that he had captured, and he was burning leaves in his yard, and he threw the mouse into the leaves to kill it. And that wasn't a big problem. He said, I don't want to squish it or do anything else. I'll just throw it in leaves. He threw it in leaves. The mouse caught on fire. The mouse ran back into his house, underneath of his curtains. The curtains caught on fire and burned his whole house down. That's not good. How do you explain that to the insurance agent? But fire seemed like a good thing to him. Until he's standing there watching his whole entire house burn to the ground and everything into it. Because if you're going to get burned to death, there's your revenge right there. And if you're the mouse. Why? Because fire can be good or bad. And I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about to burn and not to burn. Some things are good to have with fire. Some things are not. I'm going to start off with the bad things you don't want fire from. And you don't want on fire and you don't want them to cause a fire. First thing, you don't want the fiery darts in you. Look at the way God phrases this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, taking the shield of faith wherewith, so with the shield of faith, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I think that says, you read the Bible in your mind sometimes, don't look at the words, but the words are very important. It says we block all the fiery darts. And I guess that's probably true, but it says you quench the fiery darts. Okay? So when the devil throws fiery darts at you, God notes that they're not... Now, darts are bad enough. Arrows, they're bad enough. But he says they're on fire. And faith stops and quenches the fiery darts. You know, I've seen as I thought about this verse and just the way God phrases that in a way I didn't really think about before. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, I do see certain arrows and darts that the devil throws at certain people, and they begin to burn in them. It's bad enough get an arrow and stuck in you, but something's going to burn inside of you. And I think some of those things that faith is what puts it out. I think some of those things sometimes is being wronged by people. And what happens? You begin to dwell on it. And you don't believe God allowed it. You think the person just got away with it. And you dwell on it. And you get bitter. And you start burning. And pretty soon, as it burns and burns and burns, you've got a fiery dart stuck in you. And it keeps burning in you. See, many things the devil throws at you don't keep on burning. But there are fiery darts. And when they get to you, they light things on fire. And that's not the kind of fire you want. That's bad fire. Arrows shooting into you. Arrows shooting at you and shooting around you. Many times in ancient warfare, they didn't have to shoot the people. All they had to do was shoot the buildings they were in with a fiery arrow. And the people were going to die. And the devil shoots fiery darts that catches things on fire and starts a fire around you and starts a fire in your mind or starts a fire in your life. And faith stops those and says, no, God's ordered this. No, I trust God. No, I believe God. No, I'm not going to do that. It looks tempting, but I'm not going to do that. And faith puts out those fiery darts, because that is not good fire. The devil's shots at you. Don't let anything the devil throws you stick and start lighting. You know, fire really, if you start it, catch it early, it's not that hard to put out. But once it gets going, you're in trouble. So you put out the fiery darts with faith. First kind of fire you don't want to have is you don't want fiery darts in you. Number two, you don't want the fire of a wicked tongue. James chapter 3. Let me go James chapter 3. You don't want the fire of a wicked tongue. James 3 is about the tongue. It's a lot in there, and we could teach, again, I'm going to maybe go into another lesson next Sunday night about fire, but just a brief overview, there is so much about the tongue here, but the tongue is a very fiery thing. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. James 2, and we'll just read verses, or James 3, and we'll read verses 2 through 6. James 3, verses 2 through 6, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, he put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships, which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, that's sin. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and is set on fire, the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Whoa. That's a lot of heavy stuff about the tongue, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of things that could happen in this church. You know, this church will not be destroyed because the government starts passing bad laws. The churches thrive under that. This church won't be destroyed because this preacher preaches a bad message, because we would have been gone a long time ago. This church won't be destroyed because we don't have a nice enough building, or we don't have enough money, or we don't have cute enough gadgets, or anything. None of that's going to destroy this church. You know what destroys churches usually? Somebody's mouth. And it's set on fires of hell. It's very dangerous. Your tongue, the Bible says, with the same mouth, bless we God and curse our brother. Later in the chapter, my brother, these things ought not so to be. Out of the same mouth cometh blessings and cursings. Listen, the Bible says by your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. And if your tongue is on fire of hell, your tongue hurts people, your tongue lashes out, you just can't help saying it. Your tongue has to get revenge. Your tongue says bad words. Your tongue goes and does things and makes you say, later, I wish you wouldn't have said that, or ruins relationships. That's not the kind of fire you want to have, is a badly lit tongue. Your tongue should be bridled. And say, I will choose to say this. I think it's Philippians 1:29. It says this, for let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You need to learn to control your tongue. The Bible says your tongue is so powerful that if you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man and you can bridle your whole body. But when your tongue is set on fire and you have to just tell people, you know, you did that wrong, and you did this, and you just have to say things, and you cannot just stop from discouraging people, and you cannot stop from saying bad things. Listen, your tongue has a fire, and it's a bad fire. It's the fire of hell. And that's a very dangerous thing. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men that are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing, the cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Listen, your tongue should not be this burning thing that's lighting fires. They deserve, they need to hear that. Be careful, make sure you know they need, and they do sometimes need to hear that. But I just want to say, is that all that they hear from you? Do they ever hear encouraging words? They ever hear, I love you? They ever say, I'm praying for you? They ever say, good job? See, your tongue, you're supposed to control. You're supposed to tell your tongue, you know, this will bless somebody. Go ahead and say it. Not blah. Because your tongue's set on fire hell. Your tongue is a very dangerous thing. And by nature, listen, by nature, most of us, if our tongue just does its thing, we get ourselves in trouble, don't we? That's what it says about the tongue. Now, a tongue can be a wonderful thing. The tongue can tell people about Jesus, and there's a lot of good things about the tongue. It can be wonderful. But when I say, left to itself, the tongue usually doesn't do the best things, does it? It makes you say, I wish I wouldn't have said that. It makes you blurt out things and not be slow to speak. You don't want the fire of a wicked tongue. Number three, we were talking about fire. You don't want the fire a gossip starts. Proverbs 26. Talking about fire tonight a little bit, and we'll get more into detail tonight. We're just doing some big picture things about fire. Some fire you do want and some fire you don't want. You don't want the fire that a gossip starts. Proverbs chapter 26. I've always been really blessed in the sense of with all the terrible things that I am tempted with and all my weakness, gossip is not one of the things I love doing. To me, I don't understand gossip. It's kind of weird. I mean, if I'm gonna go sin, I'll rob a bank, but I'm not going to go, did you know Mary and Bob are having an affair? And did you know Junior likes Mary and Mary doesn't like him? Mary likes Bobby. That's not entertaining to me. But to some people, it is. So people kind of know that I'm not the kind of person who likes to gossip, and people, and generally I generally don't like talking that much, and so people generally don't gossip to me. That's been a blessing, because then I have to do the Bible says. The Bible says an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. You have to give them a dirty look and tell them to stop and all that stuff, and I don't like doing that. But gossip, it gets a lot of people, and I'm so thankful that people don't try to gossip to me much. You know, always when I've been at church, I don't know when the gossip happens. I'm usually doing something at church, cleaning something or helping somebody or talking to somebody. I'm just busy at church or picking up the garbage or whatever needs done. And usually I'm not just standing around talking. I find if you just stand around and talk and think you have to say something, can I tell you don't have to say something. You can be, you know, silence is okay. You don't have to say something. Well, they're standing there and nobody's talking to them. You know, our church is exceptional at this because we're a quiet church, because I'm kind of like that, and we just got people like that's our personality. But you know, did you know about 1/3 of this church are perfectly happy if you don't walk up and say something to them? Now, do it. Go say something to them, because they need to learn to be social, and it's good for them, and make them talk. But you don't need to stand there and talk all the time. Okay, what I'm trying to do right now is light this thing on fire and start a fight, because people are nudging each other, and so that's what I'm doing. I'm lighting a bad fire, but you understand, it's okay not to say anything. It's okay to say, let's go pray together for a while. It's okay to say, that was a great sermon. You know, I learned about that, and talk about something good. Say it's a great sermon. Amen. And you say it's a great sermon, because it was, and it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to talk about something good. But listen, look at Proverbs 26 and verse 20. It says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Pretty simple. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Do you notice when the talebearer, that's a person who carries a story to somebody else, the tale bearer, that person, when he's gone, the wood's gone for the fire. But when he's there, he starts lighting fires. If you have one in your family, they always find a way to get people to fight. If you have one in the church, there is always a fight around them. There is always a battle around them. We had somebody come to our church one time, and I found out they were asked to leave their last church, and they were having some problems there. And I just thought, let me just call the last pastor and just find out what the story is, because they asked them not to come anymore to their church, and that's not typical. So I called the pastor, and I said, you don't know me, but that's when I asked you a question about them. And they said, you know, everywhere they went, a fire started, and strife started. I said, that's what I was afraid of. I had to go to them, and I just said, listen, we love you. You're good to come. No more gossip. No more spreading things. No more talking and stirring people up. You stop. We've had so little problem with that, and I don't want it to start, because it's like you just put wood in the fire, and strife starts. Listen, there's a fire of gossips. A fire of people who have to tell every story, who have to tell every feeling they feel about people, who has to tell their opinion about everybody. Do you know you don't have to tell? Everybody doesn't need to know your opinion about everybody. You don't need to tell everybody. You don't need to let everybody know. You know the real story. You don't need to do that. You can know the story and nobody else knows you know the story. You don't need to be a talebearer. You don't need to start and make sure you don't have the gift of revealing every bad thing that happened to somebody. And who's in sin? Because that's a fire that you don't want. Next, you don't want the fire of God's anger. Hebrews chapter 12. See, when God's mad, it's talked about as a fire burning. Hebrews in chapter 12. You don't want God mad at you. I fear we don't fear God enough. And we're supposed to fear God. The New Testament says multitudes of times we're supposed to fear God as well as love Him. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, Exodus 22, 24, Exodus 32, 10, and many other passages say this. It says, God's anger was kindled. Kindled like a fire. When God gets mad, it's like a fire, and it starts building and building. All of a sudden, God says, I'm done. And whatever he does, he separates Korah and drops him into the earth. He sends down fire. He does that a million different ways. The Bible gives a lot of... Bible gives many examples. He floods the world. He kills Ananias and Sapphira. When God's... And no, God isn't like that. God is love. You didn't read your Bible. You didn't read your Bible. It's Old and New Testament. Okay? If you want New Testament passages, Ananias and Sapphira killed in church in Acts chapter 5 because they're living wickedly. There's lots of stories. God has wrath. And this is Hebrews, way in the New Testament. Verse 25 through 29, it says this, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, the prophets and such, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also the heaven. It's going to be worse next time. He says, I'm not going to shake the earth this time. I'm destroying the whole universe. I'm destroying the stars and the sun and the whole thing. 2 Peter 3 is going to be burned with fervent heat. And this world yet once more signifieth removing of those things that are shaken as those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And he'll leave the things that matter. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. He says, serve God with reverence and fear, because he's a consuming fire. That's what God says about to us. Understand, Paul talking here, probably in Hebrews, he's saying, hey, if you're not listening to God, you better be careful, because our God's a consuming fire. He shook the earth. He'll shake the universe someday. You don't want the fire of God, the wrath of God. You don't want his anger kindled. That's not the kind of fire that's useful. It's not a good fire, and it's not good. You don't want the fire of God's anger. Next, you don't want the fires of hell. I'm going to read a couple verses on that. Say, Pastor, you still believe in hell? Yep. I wish I didn't. I wish there was no hell. But it's all over the Bible. God never speaks of it as a parable. He doesn't speak of it as a fictional thing. He doesn't speak of the threat. He tells you about the place. He describes it. He describes it in great detail. He talks twice as much about hell as heaven. Jesus did. And we see in Revelation chapter 19 that hell is fire. And it says in verse 20, it says, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and then that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. That's what it says. And by the way, there's never a variableness. There's never a change. Every time hell is talked about, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He tells the story of the rich man and in hell being in flames. It's always talking about fire. Same two guys, 1,000 years later, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't understand why anybody would ever risk their eternity. If I were 99.99% sure I had accepted Christ, I would get to be 100%. Why risk fire forever? Fire forever. Tonight, if you don't know you're saved, don't say, oh, I'll be embarrassed. Trust me, you'll be a lot more embarrassed when the angels grab you by the arms and throw you into hell. And you'll burn forever. You don't want the fires of hell. God doesn't want that. We don't want that. God loves you. He wants you in heaven. He made the way. Jesus died for all your sins. Don't risk that fire that nobody wants. That's real. It's a place. And you don't want to, you don't want those fires. Those fires never go out, the Bible says. It's a lake burning with fire and brimstone. So we don't want fiery darts in you. We don't want the fire of a wicked tongue. We don't want the fire that a gossip starts. You don't want the fire of God's anger. You don't want the fires of hell. What do you want with fire? Well, there's some good things about fire. First of all, you want the fire of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is so often in the Bible symbolized with fire. At Pentecost, they have cloven tongues like as a fire. Whenever somebody gets the Holy Spirit, they get the fire of God in them. And you know what? The fire of the Holy Spirit in your life is good. Don't put that fire out. Amen. Have you ever got your wood wet and tried to light it again? It is amazing how much effort you can put if something's been quenched and to try to relight it. It takes so long. It is so hard. I've gotten lazy. I found this fire starting gel stuff. Oh, man, that stuff makes life so much easier. Then the papers and papers and crinkle and papers and putting them under there, lighting it, and keep on trying. Listen, don't quench the Spirit of God. When He's speaking, when he's working in your life, don't quench that fire. It's a good fire, amen? It's the Holy Spirit giving you a fire for people, a fire for God, a fire for souls. It's the Holy Spirit catching you on fire. And that's a good fire. A church should have fire. That's a good thing if the Holy Spirit's moving in the church. You should have fire. And we should all have that. Then never quench the Spirit, because that's good fire. Isn't it strange? We quench the good fire and we light the bad fire. You want the power of God. You want the fire of the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Next fire that's good. You do want the fire of the Word burning in you. Let me take some beautiful passages. Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. The fire of the Word of God. And verse 14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. The fire in your mouth. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah got so on fire for God that though he didn't want to preach anymore, though he decided, I don't want to say anything, nobody's listening, the fire of the Word of God inside of him was burning so hotly, it had to come out. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. It was burning. There was a furnace, and it looked like nothing was going on there, but it was roasting hotter and hotter, and pretty soon it was coming out. and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to say something. The word burning in you, that's a good fire. Psalm chapter 39. You don't have to turn to all these passages. I'm just reading them to you. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. You need to tell somebody about God's love. The word is burning in you to tell somebody they have hope. The word is burning inside of you to go to tell somebody what the word of God says. That's a good thing. You should have that. You should let that fire burn. It's a good fire. Psalm 39, verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, I was thinking about it and meditating. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. I talk to a lot of pastors and have a lot of pastor friends, and they'll tell me, yeah, I'm just taking a break for a while, letting somebody else preach, and they're preaching. I got so-and-so preaching every Sunday night, and so-and-so preaching on the midweek. And listen, I'm a preaching hog. Why? I'm so excited about what I get to teach. There's so much good stuff in here. I mean, we have men's preaching night, but, you know, they do a terrible job. But we have men's preaching night, and they do a good job. But, you know, it's hard for me not to preach the Word of God. I love preaching the Bible. I love to tell the story. I love to say, thus saith the Lord. I had so much fun this morning preaching and talking about the Word of God and talking in Bible class about the Holy Spirit and what He does, and talking in church and preaching the Word of God. And I love to teach the Word of God, because it gets burned in you, and you got to tell somebody. You know what's exciting? My wife the other day, she was studying, and she's reading her Bible, and she was working through Leviticus. Oh, Leviticus is rough sometimes. And she thought, didn't I just read about this sacrifice? You ever get in a part of the Bible, you said, didn't I just read this? I thought I just read this. And finally, she started writing out, and she was telling me, she's excited. I said, honey, I started writing out all the different sacrifices and all these things. And she says, Leviticus was fun. She had to tell me about that. That's a miracle. But because she was excited about what she's learning in the Bible. She was pumped, and it was good. And there's so much in here, front to back, start to back, front. It's all good. And he says, I was thinking about it. It started burning, and I had to go tell somebody. Amen. That's good. I was so excited all week. I was so excited about that message about your spiritual immune system. I don't know why I'm a weird conflict. I never want to tell anybody what I'm going to preach, but I just really want to tell somebody what I'm going to preach. It's a real conflict. But I was so excited to talk about how that if you're strong, you can handle whatever the devil... That was so exciting, because the Bible's exciting. The Bible's rich and wonderful and full, and it's good to have that fire of the Word of God burning in you. Next, what kind of fire do you want? Last of all, you do want the fire purifying. 1 Peter. several passages. I should have kept in Isaiah. We'll be back there. 1 Peter. I'm going to read you some passages around the Bible about purifying. See, purifying is spoken of as a fire. I should have brought something in here and lit something on fire. Just for fun. Because I'm a little bit of a pyromaniac. But you know why? What I didn't? Because I just got done fixing this whole building. If I just light one of those little things up there, one of those little things breaks, it's a big mess. Those evil sprinklers. You know how much those things cost? I don't want to mess with them. And listen, God speaks about fire purifying. He says fire is going to make you better. The fire of trials in life. And the Bible says that's a good thing. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor at the glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. There's so many verses on this. Chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 12, it says this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as those same strange things happen unto you. But rejoice, Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, and the glory shall be revealed. I'm going to read you a couple verses out of Isaiah. I could read you Job. I could read you Zechariah. I could read you all over. I got verses written for all over. But God says that the trial of fire is a good thing, but we don't think it is. Isaiah 48 and verse 10. For my name's sake, I will defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain thee, not cut thee off. I got the wrong verse written down. Let me just check and see if it's Jeremiah, because sometimes I write the wrong one. Where was I in Jeremiah? Isaiah. Was I in Isaiah? Was somebody reading with me? I was? Okay, let me try Jeremiah then, just real quick. And it says... Nope, that's not the right verse. Let me take it as Zechariah then, chapter 13. Good thing I wrote a lot of verses on this point. Zechariah. And chapter 13. It says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. One more verse, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible talks about the refiner's fire, the way they purify gold and silver, and I've told that before. But it says you need some fire to try you and to purify you. And by the way, fire purifies. Purifies food. Purifies all kinds of things. It purifies precious metal. They melt it with fire, and the impurities come out. And fire, trials, purify Christians. And that's a good fire, and God caused you to go through the fire. This church is the worst church in Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church. And God says, let me tell you what you need to go through. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. At the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. What did he say? I'm going to give you some advice. You're an impure church. Go through some fire to get purified. Fire purifies us. He says the trial of your faith. Romans 5. It worketh patience, experience, and hope. That's a good fire. If you're in the will of God, I'm not talking about you go and you get yourself in trouble because you make bad decisions. That's not the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith is you're doing what God wants you to do, and bad things happen, and trials come, and it's going to make you more pure. That's a good fire. Do we like that fire? Uh-uh. But the Bible says it's a good fire, because there's fire that's good, and there's fire that's bad. And fire that's good does great things and helps out a lot. The fire that's bad is very destructive. But there's good fire and bad fire. I want to say, to burn or not to burn, it depends on which fire. There's good fire and bad fire. Don't get the wrong, get the right fire from God, not the wrong fire. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word, Lord. As we just kind of looked at an overview of fire, good or bad, burning, good or bad. We certainly don't want the fire that a gossip starts. But we sure do want the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, I pray tonight, as we did just a basic Bible study, maybe not as much preaching, I pray we would be careful and fearful about having the fire of your wrath on us, and everyone here would be absolutely certain they're not going to hell, because that fire is eternal. I pray we get a fire of the Holy Spirit, a fire for the Word, a fire in our hearts, and when need be, purified by your fire. Thank you for your word that shows us about fire. There's a lot in there, a lot more we can study, but just help us to love your word and realize there's things that matter more than our comfort, and help us to get it and love your word and want to be purified. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't have a big invitation, but I just want to give you a chance to respond if God spoke to you tonight. Maybe you're pushing things with God a little bit. I had Daniel come on up there to the piano. And Daniel, if you can come on up there.